Cindy Timmy.
I'm Gracie May.
I'm Ono Aweo.
And we are
Gang.
For Beats.
For Beats.
Your favorite
Afro podcast.
Oh, crap. Season 4. I have a question then. Do you guys think that the older we get, the more we settle?
Oh.
Interesting. I was actually having this conversation with a friend of mine the other day. I feel like there's two minds. I feel like there are certain things you make provisions for. So, for example, maybe when I was younger, I'd say, look, I'm not dating a guy with a child. It's not me. I don't want to do that. As you get older, you realize the men your age or older have children or a child. So therefore, you need to slightly adjust because you could sort of, you could work, you realize that it's not the, I guess it comes with maturity or just understanding a bit more the concept of being with somebody that has a child, what it means in your age, how it really impacts your relationship. Maybe it was something when I was younger, I wouldn't even want to explore that. I wouldn't want to understand how it could work. And I think as you get older, you can maybe understand a little bit more how it could be easy or hard. And then the other thing is, I feel like the second, on the other hand, I feel like I've come to this age where I've not settled. Why is it now, after all this time, it's now I'm going to settle? I can continue. So, and I feel like one thing about relationships is that I'm really not trying to get into one for the sake of getting into one. I feel like I could have done that at any point in my life. It's not, it's not like I can't get a man. I'm trying to find somebody that I am compatible with and that I feel is compatible with me. And I feel like that is paramount to happiness because I've been in situations whereby when I really look back on it and think, why did I settle for that? That wasn't happiness. That was a title. Yes, you're in a relationship, but how I felt deep down, it's not, that's not how I want it to be. Like, if I can't boast about you, or if I can't speak about you in the same manner that I would as a friend, I don't see the benefit of having you around. I really don't know why some people choose to have struggle in their life.
And I think as well, like on that, like I completely agree with all of it. I think the only thing I would consider, like, is that, like what you say about maturity in terms of like as we get older, like maybe we mature into the reality that I could deal with that in terms of a man with kids and so on. I also, it's difficult, but sometimes I do think like, is that also settling? Because the reality of it, like I always do it this way, right? Okay, so imagine on this earth we had even Stevens in terms of numbers, right? We've got like 50% girls, 50% boys, right? And we're deciding that we want Christian guys. We've now lost a certain percentage of men. We then want black men. We've lost a percentage of men. We want men that aren't involved in crime and don't have a background. We've lost a percentage of men. We want men with jobs and so on and so forth. We've lost a percentage of men. And then we want men that don't have kids. We've lost a percent. Like at some point in time, and fair enough, men can do this to women and so on and so forth, but not in the same regard. Like when you think about crime, when you think about economies of scale, when you think about kids outside, we're not playing the same game here. So naturally there are more women batting for less men, right? That is the reality of the situation. So what I'm saying is, when we start saying, oh, I can take a man that has a kid, are we settling? Because actually the nature of man is to disappoint to some extent.
Well, I already know that, so.
Gracie, what do you think?
Can I ask a flip question to your question?
Yeah.
Do we get to an age where we're like, oh, he's 35, he hasn't been married or had kids, what's wrong with him?
Oh, definitely. The one about the kids, for me, it just, I'm never happy. I'm like, I sometimes, I'll see a good looking person and yeah, like you said, those criteria, and I'll be like, so how have you not had kids? But in my mind, the first thing I'm thinking is that you haven't acknowledged them, number one. Potential fertility issues, but I don't think that's anything to really judge anybody on. That just has to be worked on. And then, but mainly you're just not accounting for your children.
Right. So the reason why I asked is because I feel like we're definitely in the bracket where he's either going to have a kid or more. And so then I have to, or we have to really look at ourselves and be like, okay, why is it that we had that on the list to begin with? I know for me that if you have a child, your child has to come number one. And I'm at a point in my life where if I'm choosing to do life with you, I'd like to be number one. Also, too, when we're going through labor, I've said this on the podcast already, I don't want you to be like, oh yeah, arch your back like this, or let me rub you in this spot. That's how it worked last time. I want it to be.
It's not mad.
I want it to be both of our first experiences, you know? Men are mad, and they will embarrass you.
In that moment. What the fuck did you
say? It's not me, they're embarrassing. I've decided, I'm taking that off. When we say that men will, they're not embarrassing us, they are embarrassing themselves. And I think the more and more they do tomfoolery, that's why I was a bit absurd about the whole 6 p.m. curfew. But you know, in my head, I was thinking, oh well, like it's just gets to a point where you're just at some point, we're going to get to a point where what they're doing is going to be called out and it's not going to be acceptable. You're not embarrassing me, it is you. You have to be shameful. You do not possess the capacity, sorry to cut you, to just not do stuff that you shouldn't do. Even a simple child learns not to want every single thing that they see in sight. As a man, you should be able to do the same. What powers your dick to that point? Like, I don't even have a desire for such a thing whereby I'm just like a rampant rabbit. Like, why, what's going on? What is it that—
Are you not tired?
Yeah. Mm. I genuinely just look and think, ah.
You know what, it's because the world is entertaining the idea that they can be like this. That is it.
But who is entertaining it? Because we've had enough.
I think
calling them out.
Yeah, and I'm always one to do it because I feel like based on that thing that I was saying in terms of the countdown, Gracie, personally me, to answer your question, and then you can answer my own, please. but I think that I'm not the sort of person that if someone's 35, I'll now be in a situation where I'm saying to you, why are you not married? Because I always say you can't judge someone based on the doors that have opened and closed for them. Like realistically, you could have been a long-term relationship and the girl cheated. That could be your story. You could have been in a situation where you thought you were butters before and now you've grown up and now all of a sudden people are taking your interest. Do you know what I mean?
Like, well, that's what's happening with a lot of them. You can tell.
And that could be what's happening to you. So you could very easily, the same things that can happen to women that mean all of a sudden you become more desirable than you were before, or like your life has changed, it can happen to men as well. So I would always give someone the ability to show me why you're 35 and not married. I wouldn't assume it of them.
You'll soon find out for yourself, trust me.
Yeah, exactly. And realistically, a lot of it will be based on the examples that you guys have said, but I won't assume it straight away.
For a man, you can. Can I just publicly say before Gracie goes on, once I get that body that I've been striving for the last 10 years, man or no man, you'll see me in these streets. I'm a new person.
With this girl.
Take her out. Do this lived in PT life, by the way. That's coming.
Oh.
I've not been dodging, it's because of COVID.
Ah, okay, fair enough.
When things open up, it'll be easier.
But that's the whole point. It's
guys, when I come back from Lagos, I'm gonna be skinny too, because the amount of shit I'm shitting is too much.
Fuck it, hell. This episode must come with a warning.
Sorry, the reason why I had to free is because, sorry, and Ola, I am going to answer your question. But I've been so careful. They've said don't drink ice because they don't know what water they've used to make the ice. I've not been having ice. Don't have fruit or veg because you don't know the water that they use to wash it. They've said only have hot food. Eating hot food in a hot country is like the worst thing ever. But everything they said I should do. Yeah, and I've also been, I've had ice on a few times. My point is, I've only had ice when there's been alcohol in the cup, hoping it will counteract it. It hasn't. I'm dying. When will I acclimatize?
Do you want me to bring some
money, Debbie?
To be honest, I think you would have acclimatized if you had just done all of those things. Because all those things-
Hold on, I need to show you. This is my pack of multi whatever. So this is my Imodium. As you can see, I've finished it. There's two left, okay? This is Buscopan for cramp relief. This one is Sunday Sundays, my weekly malaria prevention. I've been shitting so much, I'm dehydrated. So I'm having Emazolite. They should sponsor this episode, by the way. I've not had this much medication ever. Ever. Sorry, I've been holding, that's why I've been quiet. My belly's been bubbling. I had to free it. I had to tell you guys. I'm so sorry. Ola, what was your question?
I can't remember, Gracie. It's fine.
Is it relevant?
I'm sorry you feel that way. I'm sorry you feel that way. But I actually think that whenever I go to Nigeria, I never listen to all those rules. My process of acclimatizing is to just put the ice in the drink and to eat the fruits, because then after about 4 days, you're fine.
Well, I am.
Don't forget, you lived here. I've never lived here. You're reverting back to your old way of life. This is me building a new immune system. I'm dying on the line.
I'll bring you some fresh vegetables. You know, because in Nigeria, that they charge like £13 for like asparagus and stuff like that. So if you want, I can ship some veg.
£13?
Yeah.
You all the stuff they have to import, because they don't grow it here.
So then that's a quick way to make money, you know? I could just bring some asparagus. I'll sell it for five.
Just have your pea smelling.
I don't think you can do that. I think they'll stop you.
Diplomat, police officer.
Respect me, please. I was trying to save you like a £10,000 fine or something.
CIO.
Cool.
No, you're right, they will. But it's
can I say, the reason why I asked the question to begin with was obviously the Adekunle Gold and Simi rumors. So I'll just quickly say, I love both of them, disclaimer. But the Gist Lover _blog1 broke the story this week that apparently Adekunle has been stepping out on Simi, and apparently it's a known thing, and apparently this isn't the first time. And the name that they linked him with this time was a lady called, I think, Temi Nikan. Did I say her name? Excuse me. And I'm still burping because I'm trying to drink sugary drinks to keep my energy up. Did I say her name right? Temi Nikan.
Namesake.
Okay. Yeah, so part of the reason why I asked the question to you guys before going into it was a lot of people have said that Simi has known from the beginning, but part of the reason why she stayed around, Temi Nikan, is because, you know, she's 30 plus, she was been with him for like 7 years, obviously been married to him now 2 years. And sometimes when you get to that age bracket, that 30 plus bracket, that 234 Twitter will always make you seem like you're elderly and ancient. Apparently when you get to that age, you just like anything goes. Like, I want to have all my kids by the same guy, Khloe Kardashian. I want to be a power couple, Beyonce and Jay-Z. Like, we can name so many women in pop culture and in the industry that have suffered in silence because of these narratives that are put on us, whether it's age or whatever. Sorry, go on, Cindy.
Interesting topic. I feel like not everybody's hill to die on is cheating, number one. Like, we do not know what individual, if that's the case where they're saying, oh, he's known for that and whatnot. I don't know why Gist Lover is coming to tell us on the internet, because we know. So, and what, should we be shocked? I don't understand. For all we know is, yes, Simi may know, it may be true. At the same time, I just don't get, one thing that pisses me off is why they bring people's downfall to light. Like, I feel like it's just, they're more focused on, and even the way they worded it, they tried to word it out like they're Simi soldiers. They're like, ah, we're just warning you, Temi, don't be, but you're putting somebody's business out that it just didn't need to be in the blogs. And I know that's how Gist companies work and whatnot, but in terms of like settling, I just feel like at her age, they met when she was a little bit younger, so I wouldn't have said that necessarily at the point she was settling. I think now we have to consider the fact that they're married, you don't know what love they have for each other, they've also got a child, and just like, we also don't know what her
I'm shaking my head. I want
to... Ola, before you jump in, though, I want to ask Cindy, what's your hill? What's the hill?
what's my hill? I think it's very easy for me to say, oh, once you cheat, you know, I'm going to break up with you and whatnot. But I've never been married with a child with somebody before. I don't know what circumstances. We don't know if it's even true. We don't know whether it was recently happened. Like, I just...
Imagine it's true.
I can't tell her what she would do. I know what I would do. I definitely want
to... That's why I asked, what's your hill? What's your hill?
That is definitely my hill. I'd be distraught. I'm not going to lie to you. I'd be distraught. I may stay around for a little bit so that I can seek revenge. And that's also like a point that I would make, because that's generally how I believe. Because this could be her stage where she's sick. Me? Just leave you straight away? No. I'm seeking revenge. I'm seeking revenge in a way that you do not...
I told you. Thought. I can't laugh. Cindy, don't kill me.
Let that poop come out. Mm-hmm. I'm so all the, if they're like, just love me till kingdom come, all the months I'm collecting money, I'm doing whatever, and then when I feel like it's time to leave, peace.
That's great. Did anyone notice this week, before I go into my views, that from now on, they can, DWP can hold your passport if you don't pay your
child support.
Child support.
Pay your CSA.
Yeah. Unless you have a valid reason why you cannot, rightfully so. No one needs to come and be arguing with me in my comments on Instagram. Yeah.
You have Dubai money, but you haven't bought your child formula.
Yeah.
Your child is there collecting free school meals, but you want to be going up and down to Magaluf, Ibiza. Sit at home.
Yeah.
Sit at home.
Mercedes E-Class.
Let's even find out. Let me see how much it is.
In fact, you're right. They should roll it out to financing cars. They should roll it out to not just holidays. What else do boys spend a lot of money on? Feed your kids.
Yeah.
Okay, so the amount you pay... Oh, I think it's a percentage, right?
Yeah, it's based on your income.
Oh, fine. Okay.
That's how men will start hiding second jobs, third jobs, declaring their least paid jobs so that they... Why? The fact that we have to go through CSA to begin with means that you weren't paying regularly.
Yeah.
So now we've got DWP involved. And now you now want to start hiding money? You should be ashamed.
Yeah. And the conversation that people are saying is that, why are DWP getting involved? It's like, are you mad? Are you guys not embarrassed that we've gotten to the stage where people are seizing your passports so that you'll pay child support? And the conversation you want to have is, why are they getting involved? But anyway. Back to the sort of Adekunle Golden.
Simi, just doing calculations while you talk about that.
I think personally for me, I just feel as though when it comes to, would you be instead of me to read it out, the first.
No, but please, for the guys that are listening, read it out.
The question is, so I've just gone onto the website for child maintenance to see how much I would have to pay if I wasn't, absconding parent, and the first question is, will you be making payments to more than one parent typically?
So are you for the streets or not?
Basically, so yes, how many people will you be paying child maintenance to? Let's just say two for the sake of Nigerian men. Do you get any benefits on state pension? No. Do you receive any income? Yes. What is your total taxable income? Let's go with a 35K salary. I know most of Twitter are on 100K, but hey, just living in reality here. And this is yearly. And how many of your children live with the first receiving parent most of the time? Well, that's...
Two of them.
Oh, okay. So two, even if they're different parents, yeah?
Unless you've got two kids for parent one and five kids for parent two, but you know.
What are the names? Why does the name of the child matter? Anyway,
I don't think it's going to be a quick process.
I know. Just continue what you're saying. I'll see if I can get to the bottom of it.
But I think with the Adekunle and the and Simi situation, for me personally, I just feel like we give men way too much grace. I think the examples you gave. It's sort of like, I think about it like this, like. You know how people say that when girls dress up, they don't dress up for guys, they dress up for each other?
Mm.
I think it's the same with us sticking with husbands. Like, we're not doing it for ourselves, we're doing it because the peer pressure of what that looks like within women is problematic. And so until we normalize the idea that men are trash or can be trash or have been in, have put women in situations where they shouldn't, it shouldn't be wild for them to choose to not choose the man. Until we normalize that, we're going to keep having these conversations over and over again as though they actually deserve a second chance. Because if you put it very plainly, there were vows. One person kept them and one person didn't. And at some point in time, how many more years should we be okay with the idea that they're not doing it? How many more years should we use the fact that they have 2 years as an two heads as an excuse? Like, we need to normalize it and just stop doing it. Because until we do within our own community and society of women, we're going to cripple ourselves by consistently saying these things that I have a kid with him and so on and so forth. This guy should know what he could have lost when he did it. So you don't need to stay. Like, you actually don't need to stay.
That's the shame of it as well, was like, all of us, by the time we get married, will be over 30. Yeah? That's just, it is what it is. I feel like if we were to, even if we were to get married end of the year, right? I think there would also be a level of shame that we've waited this long and we still got the bottom of the barrel. Well, we might just wait it out just because, oh, fuck, excuse my French. Like, I've waited this long, I might as well. Which is why I asked about settling. I think there's the stigma of being a divorcee, especially if you're a divorcee with a child. I think as well, the narrative that all men cheat is obviously there and we're always like, oh, better the devil you know than the devil you don't. The concept of remarrying before 40, I think all these just concepts, they're just scary.
They are.
And I think even if our friends or perception wasn't pressuring us, we have so many things that we've internalized from the big white wedding. Who wants to do that twice? All the way to paying dowry. Who wants to do that twice? Like, nobody. And you know, we have that whole thing of, okay, so he cheated. Like, the lack of sympathy, I think, from the older generation as well. I think there's just, it's a cocktail of things that it's not just down to perception. It's internalized misogyny. It's pressure from the elders. And then also, like, that whole concept of, as much as we hate to say it, oh, I want my kid to grow up in a family, a two-parent family.
But I think, I think that's extremely problematic because it keeps people in really bad relationships, right? And it teaches children about really bad relationships because we have to really think about why we are still in a situation where rapists breed rapists, child abusers build child abusers, women beaters breed women. It's because we keep them in the environments where it's okay for those things to happen. And so it just continues to happen. That's why we can end up on calls where people that have just shown misogynistic behavior could be telling women that we should teach them how to be better. That's why we're here. Do you get what I mean? And to me, it's sort of a bit like, I personally think, because I've said this before, like until we get to the stage where we can really showcase that men, we do not need you apart from for anything other than a sperm. We're not going to be in a position where men as a group, a collective of people rise up to be better because they're going to consistently continue to get away with what they get away with. So some men will always choose to be subpar. It's the same thing with white mediocrity and how there could be some white men in the office that can just be subpar and get promoted and promoted and promoted. And you have to be twice as good. We will just continue to allow men to be mediocre because there's no repercussions for their actions. And I think it should be something we're extremely like focused on for our children because our children will never change. Our children will just continue
to... You know that they'll call you bitter though. They'll call you bitter and old and aged and all the things that they, all the labels they put on women that, oh, you're a queer woman, you wouldn't understand or you've been left on a shelf. Like, you know what I mean? I feel just like, whenever you try to be outspoken about things that are just human issues, they always try to make it something else.
And the reason
will they you do marry that is your because... work? Is your work going to marry you?
Who will reason... give you kids?
Man. But the reason they're doing that is because they're deflecting from the fact that, but I don't want it to be you. I don't want it to be you or any of your friends. So who will do it? Tell me. Because I'm better than all of you. Do you know what I mean?
What's that song lyric? Is it Britney Spears? I'd rather be alone than unhappy. Man. I won't die from adoption or fostering or so IVF. I won't die. Meghan Markle had her first kid at 36, right? Okay, she's got royal money, or she had royal money, but she ain't got two heads.
Can I ask you guys, why do you think you're still single? Why are you single?
I can answer that, yeah. Why am I single?
Let's everyone go ahead.
Gracie,
so mine is definitely by choice, but also because I was with someone for almost 6 years. That didn't work out. He took my good years, but we're reclaiming them now, honey. But I'm definitely in a position where it'll be 3 years that we broke up in a couple of months. And I'm definitely in a position where I'm ready for a serious relationship, whether that's husband or baby father, I have not quite decided. But I know that definitely I gave a good chunk of my dating years to somebody that didn't deserve it.
Yeah, I can go. So for me, I think that I've always been quite outspoken, but also been, like, I think in my outspokenness, I'm quite diplomatic. I've always tried to be understanding. And I think in all of my like younger dating years, I used to very much think that, okay, Ola, like, you're quite outspoken. You don't take nonsense. So actually maybe just let people be people and not be 100% all the time and so on. And what that meant is that I did date a lot of trash men because I felt like you had to compromise. I felt like you had to like sort of not compromise, but I felt like I couldn't be as like to the point as I would be. Do you know what I mean? Because I always get told that I'm so assertive. I always get told that I've got something to say and so on and so forth, that I felt like it was like, you know what, in this environment, you try and say too much, it ain't gonna work. And actually it just ended up meaning that I entertained trash, to be quite honest. So yeah, that's what I think. I think in my younger years, I entertained trash. And now that I'm older, I'm definitely not going to do that. Like we said, we're scraping the bottom of the butter in this situation now. And so like, what's the point? I didn't settle before, I won't do it now.
I like that.
Why are you single, Cindy?
Why are you single?
I think I'm single because I'm afraid to explore what could potentially be a good idea from people. And I often, when that comes to my way, I'll try and look out for the things that I didn't necessarily want in that relationship and use that to be as a reason as to why it wouldn't work, I think.
Fair. So all different reasons here. But I think it's interesting because I feel like, I think, like sometimes I think about the type of people that are married, like are at the ages that they're married and the types of people that aren't. And it's obviously very difficult to group people so in such large chunks collectively. But it is interesting that the idea that your parents always want you to get married young, right? It's the known thing, people push that and so on. And I really worry about people that get married at like anywhere under the age of 24, because I don't feel like you have even enough like in the office experience, let alone life experience, for you to know who you really are and or could be before you start identifying who that is with someone else. Mm-hmm. But actually, I think the older you get and the more you become very secure in yourself and very sure of yourself, the more you realize what you will not take. And so naturally you do end up in situations where there are less and less people that you're actually going to be able to take. And so if you're having the conversation about settling, if having children in a home with two people that love each other and so on and so forth, isn't your ideal, and actually just having children is, you will find other means to do it.
But do you think one of the reasons why our parents then do want us to, or why people encourage getting settled down younger, is because that knowledge that you learn can maybe hinder the length of time it will take for you to settle down? So they often want it to be done at almost your naive stages, because essentially you then grow into something, which we have seen with the older generation that have, some have, many have worked and many of some haven't. But the fact of the matter is, the point they're trying to make is that they were too young to know better. And therefore, in those relationships, they were able to work through it because they didn't know any better. And therefore, those are the reasons why they're giving us, to why they say the longer we wait now, it's almost like we're becoming pompous in our decisions. And I mean, rightly so. I don't see why I would have to force myself into being something, especially if you know better. But for the sake of having a title, no. I think one thing, and I just want to round it up by asking you ladies what advice you'd give to your children. But one thing I would say is that if I had a child in my younger years, I promise you, struggling to settle down wouldn't even be a thing for me right now, because I'd feel like I'd at least accomplish one of the reasons as to why I feel like I need to be in a relationship. And therefore that level of pressure wouldn't be so much. But in terms of, unless you guys have anything else to say, I have a rounding up question.
No, I'm just going to say, I agree. It's my ovaries. If my ovaries weren't so loud and the concept of freezing eggs, which you spoke about last season, wasn't very real, I'd be taking my time, boo. Collecting all the coins, securing all the bags and having all the fun. So I hear you.
Cool. And just as a roundup, is there any advice that you guys would give to your younger children? Are you encouraging them to... Because I feel like one of the things when I was younger is that you shouldn't have guys around. And I feel like all of a sudden it comes to a point where they just change their mind and all of a sudden have them. So I feel like, what advice would you give to your kids? It's random, but as a nice little roundup.
No, I think it's a good question. And I'll try and do this quickly. I was talking to my cousin about it today. And I was saying that the girls that are, the girls when you're in school that are the queen bees, that are the ones that are flirting with all of the guys and so on and so forth, have sex first and then naturally make everyone in their group sort of have, like, because they're all together, they all start talking about it and all of them have sex first before every other girl in the school and all the other boys in the school. Like, I think there is a need to define your and understand your, like, sexuality early. And I think, and I'm not trying to say that my kids should be out here trying to have sex, but I mean that what our parents do is that they curb any involvement. It's like, yeah, you're going to get pregnant and die from, like, so don't do it. And they curb any interest for you to do that. And then all of a sudden at 18, you're at uni, you need to turn it on. You need to find someone in the 3 years that you're at uni, whilst you're still trying to find yourself, what you're interested in, what you don't like, and so on and so forth, and bring home a man at 22, like, so that you can be married to him by 25. And I think the main thing I would say is more just the idea that I wouldn't stop my kids from having those high school and school boyfriends and all those things, because I really just don't think that's the way. Hopefully they're not knacking at 14, but, like, I'm not going to be like, run away from all boys. And that sort of thing. Don't play kiss chase. I'm not going to be that parent.
Ah, let's see what your husband says. But anyway.
Gracie.
I don't know, you know, because my mom was actually quite liberal. And because I, like, played basketball with the boys, I played football with the boys. She was, like, the first boy I brought home. I was 16.
Mature, shoulder pad.
So I don't know. What would I think mine is gonna be less run away from boys, more it's to never settle. It's to never settle, you know? It's to never settle. I think there were so many red flags that I saw with, I've had 1, 2, 3 major relationships, maybe 3.5. And there was always red flags and there was always something that wasn't quite right. And sometimes you, like, overanalyze and you're like, oh, no one's ever gonna be perfect, or like you said earlier, or the, you have to compromise. You two, you're not perfect. So, you know, you have to meet people halfway. And I think if I didn't settle as often, who knows? I could be married with 6 kids by now. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, just never settle. In life, in love, in friendship, with work. Somebody else tweeted, and I'm sure it's a quote that's been around, but I only saw it in the last, like, 6 months, which says, you'd never get paid what you deserve. You always get paid what you negotiate. And I think that principle is the same with, like, love and everything. Like, you will only be treated as you allow yourself to be treated. Don't be taken for a fool. So yeah, never settle. You're not a mug. That's my advice.
I'm not a mug.
Yeah. Yeah. That's my final closing thoughts. I'm going to tell my children, you're not a mug, you know. You're not a mug. Don't behave like one. But I think it's been a very, very interesting topic about relationships, settling, never settling, and finding love after after 30. That's a thing. But yeah, let us know your thoughts below, guys, in the comment section. And obviously, if you're listening online across all the socials, slide into our Instagram pages and across our social media platforms at Frobeats Podcast on Instagram. Individually, I am on Instagram known as Cindy Temi.
I'm Olorawaya.
_ Gracie May. Yep. That's it.
We're Frobeats.
See you next week.
See you next week.